Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today, I'm really excited to have Claire and Ashley on from Celebrity Memoir Book Club. I think that these two girls are like the most talented, funny, I mean, they're stand-up comics, but I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already listened to Celebrity Memoir Book Club, and I wanted to have them on specifically for this episode about Glee TV show and cast member Blind Items, because they've covered Naya Rivera's memoir, in which she kind of reveals some of these blind items herself. So before we get into it, just a couple disclaimers. One, we filmed this episode a few weeks or like a month ago. And that was before I talked with Haley and found out that the term child porn should be called child sexual abuse material. As you probably know, one of the Glee cast members was found with CSAM. Anyway, so if we refer to it as that, it's because this was filmed weeks ago. Number two, if we don't talk about a Glee cast member, that's because I looked for blinds on them and there weren't really any blinds to be found. Number three, if girls interrupting each other makes you mad, just don't listen to this one. We're three girls gossiping. We interrupt each other a bunch. It's very fun. And number four, I tried to edit this one in Audacity. You don't want to know how long it took me. And the audio levels are like still a little bit off. If it bothers you, write it down on a piece of paper and then flush it down the toilet or burn it. But do not DM me that the audio levels are messed up. I know they are. I've already put 5 hours into editing this. Kindly take the words, shove them up your ass. Okay, thankfully, it was such a fun episode to edit because these girls are hilarious. I was literally laughing out loud while editing it. Let me stop talking and let's just get into today's episode. So without further ado, Claire and Ashley. Okay. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Fluently Forward. I'm here with the Celebrity Memoir Book Club girls. Do you guys like being called girls? I always call you the Celeb Memoir Book Club girls.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you guys want ladies or women or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're the adults of Celebrity Memoir Book Club.
With the dignified adults. But I'm here with Claire and Ashley, and we're going to be going over Glee cast blind items, which was partly inspired by you guys reading Naya Rivera's book. And it's funny because I feel like in her memoir, she kind of revealed a lot of these blind items. Like the main gist of everyone in the Glee cast is that they were all fucking each other.
Yes.
And they like to party and they're all like fame obsessed, which is funny because I feel like that's kind of what happened on Glee.
And I think something she said that's like a really interesting insight into their dynamic is that nobody was a star beforehand, except for, I guess, Lea Michele had theater girl credit, but that doesn't really count in the Hollywood world.
No.
But because of that, there was no hierarchy. They were all just like rising together.
Yeah. Which I think is really interesting because typically you have like, you know, a big name that pulls people into a show and then a couple people who are like struggling to get to the top.
Yeah, and I do think it was funny because I remember when Glee came out, there were people who like thought they were superior for like knowing who Lea Michele was before because they were like Broadway freaks. And I'm like, out yourself as a Broadway freak in order to like seem like you know more about the show Glee is like one of the more wild things to witness.
It's like me being like, stand back, everyone. I was a horse girl in middle school, so like put some respect on this name. But yeah, so the blinds are crazy. Now, I do have to bring up like three of the people that these blinds are about have all passed on to the next life, and typically I feel weird talking about blinds about people who are dead, but that being said, like they're so good that I can't not talk about it, and I also feel like they've all kind of been revealed at this point. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I think because so many of them have died, it's become like a weird, like, do you know what I mean? It's like not one tragedy. It's there might be a curse. And if we could get to the bottom of it by the end of this episode, we could save Diana Agron. Because
I think that the only one at this point, actually, there are a couple of them worth saving. And Diana Agron is like top tier for me.
Same here. So we'll get into all of it. I kind of pulled them on everyone. Some have obviously a lot more than the others. I will say, other than like two folks, I would consider kind of everyone, to use Beyond the Blinds terminology, super fucking rotted. So who do you guys want to get into first?
Should we start with the death so that then we can move to light?
Yeah. Okay. Start with the darkness because, and into the light.
And also I do feel like those are like truncated rumors. You know what I mean? At some point, there's only so much theorizing you can do on somebody who's no longer alive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to keep going on. So, okay, let's start with Corey. There were only two on him. He kind of pops in and out of Leah Michelle's items. But this one was interesting, talking about people who are like fucking each other like rabbits. We had two different blinds talking about a little bit of a love triangle between Leah, Corey, and Diana Agron, which it's hard to tell with some of these blinds. I always imagine everyone in Hollywood is like pansexual as fuck, because one blind will be like, they're actually closeted. And then another blind will be like, but they did fuck this one person. I just think everybody does that.
Do you know my working theory on like the sexuality of Hollywood people?
It's something in the water.
It's like, I do think that like once you have so much sex, you always need something different. It's like it becomes an addiction almost. And in the same way, do you ever go down like a porn hole where you like come out and you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, like it started with Missionary and ended with like Sleeping Beauty cartoons. Yeah, you're like, what?
I think that that happens with real people too, and with celebrities, when nobody's ever saying no and you're having all this new sex all the time, you do have to kind of find like further and further things. I think that that's like the Epstein thing. I don't think all these people are born pedophiles and then their love of children.
They just
keep pushing. Yeah, they're like, what's off limits? And I think that the you have to keep keeping yourself interested.
I also think people forget that all celebrities are theater kids, which is like a notoriously fluid bunch. I think that people like see an actor who like portrays manly characters and they're just like, well, that's a man. And you're like, that's an actor. That's a literal professional theater kid. Why would they not?
Yeah.
Like they're, you know what I mean? Like they're wearing makeup, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wearing makeup. I'm just saying that these are people who like get dressed up and they're like fancy people for a living just because they like play a wilderness guy who's like chopping wood in the, that's, they're not a football player. They're not, which also is like super gay, whatever. But I just also think that like people are like, Matthew McConaughey is a man's man. And you're just like, it is so insane to think Matthew McConaughey wouldn't be bisexual. Like, it's truly stupid.
Like, the manliest, Jason Momoa probably yells at his PA for, like, not getting the right type of milk in his dressing room or something.
Yeah,
you know
first
what I mean?
Of all, actors, by definition, are pretending to be other people all the time. The idea that any of them have a sense of self is to miss the whole point of what their job is. And then second of all, I also think that when you're surrounded by Hollywood, the most beautiful people on earth, like, what is gender when everybody is a 10?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, like most men don't know that many hot men at the end of the day. They're only tempted once or twice a week. You know what I mean? Maybe there's, like, one guy at the office who kind of gets you excited. But in Hollywood, like, all of them are all your, like, hall passes, all your, like, I'd go gay for. He's your coworker now.
Yeah, they're sitting next to you.
And that's the other thing, is I feel like in an office setting, it's, like, inherently not that sexual. Like, even if you have, like, a bro that you're, like, he's the most handsome bro I know. And you, like, don't want to, like, really dissect that at all. It's fine. But, like, in Hollywood, you're just like, well, that's the most handsome, my most handsome coworker I see shirtless often. And, like,
we're doing, like, mirroring activities to get vulnerable and in touch.
Or sometimes, like, you have to kiss each other. Yeah. And that's, like, the movie.
And so then you, like, it, like, awake, and you're just like, oh, I mean, I think most people are bisexual. So I feel like the fact that most celebrities are all fucking each other, like, is standard.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Okay, so this is the love triangle. It's all about basically saying that Corey and Leah were dating, but Corey was having sex with Diana at the time. So the first item says, this B-minus list, mostly TV actress who can also sing, Diana Agron, used to rush home with her co-star and have sex with him before her other co-star roommate would get home. Those two ended up dating. So I guess this happened before Corey and Leah dated. And then there was another item saying, this B-plus list, mostly TV actress from a very hit network show, Leah Michelle, hates one of her C-plus list former co-stars, which is Diana Agron. Why? The former boyfriend of Leah once called out the C-lister's name during sex, which I would do too, because I think Diana Agron's like the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. It's just, I think she's like a beautiful person in a way that is like,
she's like a Disney princess or something.
I feel like she almost is not sexual to me because she's like so pretty that you're just like,
that's,
I do want to look
Blake
at her.
Lively. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was 7, I had this like little jewelry contraption that had dolphins on it that I thought was just so lovely that I didn't even want to put jewelry on it because I was just like, I have to protect this thing at all costs. And I just like, it was just a thing I cherished. And that's how I feel about Diana Agron. She's a beautiful dolphin embellished jewelry case.
She really is.
Yeah. But she is gorgeous.
I can't get over how many of the blinds perfectly mirror the the plot lines of
Glee. What's happening, right?
But I also do think that, like, whereas normally I'd call bullshit on that, I'd say that's some Lady Gaga promo nonsense. I do think these people were cast in Glee because they were these archetypes.
Yeah.
And I do think that Diana Agron, like, if you're a hot Finn, if you're a hot Cory Monteith, you go in and you fuck the hottest one, mm-hmm. the jock and the cheerleader. But then I do see how he's so fucked up and damaged. And then, like, the weirdo that nobody likes, like, she really understands you and she's going to bring you tea. You know what I mean? Like, I do yeah. see how Lea Michele would be, like, this clingy, needy little bitch who's like taking care of him all the time, and in that way wins him over.
A chill girlfriend. Like, I feel like life really imitates art for a lot of these people. Like, for almost every person that I've looked into the blinds on, other than Cam from Modern Family, I feel like most people are the characters that they play, for yeah. like better or for worse. And I feel like Lea Michele is like exactly who she is in the show. Fucking yeah. annoying and way too into herself, you know.
The thing is, it is a show about the people who are in the show. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. it is a show. Sure, they're not in high school now, but when these people were in high school, as you were just saying,
yeah,
they were theater geeks, and theater geeks grow up to be in a cappella TV shows, and this is an a cappella TV yeah. show about theater. Like, they are playing themselves. They were cast because they are them.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on with the dead ones. And let's talk about Mark, the guy who died after finding out that he had, what was it? Was it 50,000 items of child pornography?
It's never a little amount. That's it's always like an amount of porn that I'm like, I don't think I've seen that many like photos on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, it's always yeah. a number that I'm like, how could your computer hold this?
Yeah. But also, there's no way that, let's say it was 50,000, because I think it was something obscene. It was either 15,000 or 50,000, which, even if it's 15,000, that's insane. I don't think I've watched that many YouTube videos, let alone porn videos, let alone child porn videos, let alone downloaded them and kept them somewhere.
I've never watched a porn from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
honestly, one full-length old-school VHS, like a 30-minute VHS, could keep me occupied for 4 or 5 years, because yeah. I could work off a couple minutes at a time. Yeah. Like, I just, like, can't imagine eating that much porn of any type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, like, this is my conspiracy mindset, but I'm like, there is a industry for child porn. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about it, but, like, supply and demand, right? With prohibition, like, people are still drinking alcohol. There's a huge demand. So it makes me think, just when I hear that number, he wasn't just viewing it for himself. Like, nobody right. just has 15,000 videos. So he must have been involved with something.
Well, something I have heard, because I actually I went to private school every year of my life, which means that I have had like 3 different teachers arrested for child pornography. They do have like a lower stakes in hiring people somehow at these private schools. But a part of it is because you have to prove that you want to begin. You know, you can't casually Google child porn and they'll just send it to you.
Yeah.
Because then the FBI would arrest everybody. I do think a lot of these circles, you have to like get some skin in the game, and you have to either help create or you have to put in enough that you would be implicated.
Yeah.
They have to make it so, what would stop an FBI guy from just like ordering some porn and then finding out the send address and coming and getting me? And it's like, okay, you want porn, you make porn. Yeah. Or you have to do something that's like deeply morally problematic. So yeah. that.
And that's what happened with Epstein too. You know, why weren't these people ratted out? Well, if the blackmail goes up all the way the chain, like, who's going to rat each other out? You're all implicated, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. When it's like that mutual destruction. It is so much porn.
Yes.
I, like, can't.
No, I do think you
I
have do, to.
I agree that he must have been, like, involved.
Be part of the, yeah.
Yeah, whether it was, like, creation or, like, his house was just, like, where they kept it all.
Do you think they're on records? They're NFTs. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he had, like, gigabytes, but there was only really one blind about him, and it kind of lined up with everything I was thinking. It's really long, so I'm going to, like, cut out parts of it. But it was basically saying, the aftermath and the increased focus on the curse of this show, Glee, with the past week, and that was the Naya drowning, I've been asking more questions about the hanging, the death that makes no sense as a suicide. The actor, Mark, was about to start naming names. Names that were big enough to make someone kill him? Apparently, yes. The names were so big that they managed to bribe 2 officers in charge of monitoring the house arrest of the actor. As soon as he was dragged from the house, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, basically saying that, it's a very, very long thing. You could look it up. But it was basically saying that he was going to start naming names, maybe of people that he knew who was involved with this. And when he was put on house arrest, something happened where those officers, kind of just like the Epstein thing, the officers were gone for a period of time and nobody knows what happened to him. And then when they came back to the house, they were gone. He was suicided. And they
say, I love that suicided is a new term in our life.
Suicided is like death under mysterious
circumstances. I'm going to suicide Ashley one day.
And then it
says, I don't fucking doubt it.
Yeah, exactly. And then it says, everyone knew who's going to give up the names. There were several names and IP addresses, but to me, only one name really sticks out as someone who had something to lose. Get ready for this one. I don't know how fan fiction this is. Someone, Anthony Weiner, who had just got out of jail and a halfway house a few months earlier and has a history of this behavior. Could he have put something together to kill the actor? Depends if he called in his wife's friends or not. Would she help? So it gets a little cuey there at the end.
I watched Weiner, the documentary, and I don't think that man had the wherewithal to work. Like, he couldn't.
But isn't, first of all, the documentary's crazy. He's such a raging narcissist.
He's such a raging narcissist.
It's worth
but
the watch.
Like, he is not a man who, like, covered his own tracks. Do you know what
I will say, the idea that Anthony Weiner killed Mark Salling feels far-fetched to me.
Yeah.
The idea that there is, like, this whole world of child porn, and when someone gets too implicated and they're gonna start talking, they have like a method for paying off the cops and suiciding that person, that feels pretty spot
like
on.
I don't think it's Anthony Weiner, but I think that there are tons of Nickelodeon, Fox, Disney executives,
like, could it have been Dan Snyder? Now we're talking. I mean,
there we go. He strangled him with his foot.
Like, I do believe that. I like 100% agree that these people obviously are staying in business, and with like the internet, it seems pretty easy to get him out. But Anthony Weiner is also the man who sent an underage girl a pic of his dick with his son's face in it. Like, this
is
not,
to be fair, that was Carlos Danger. That wasn't
that's
Anthony
so true,
Weiner.
That was
it was a different
But do you
guy.
Know what I mean? Like, this is not a criminal mastermind. This is like one of the biggest idiots on earth.
Right. Yeah. But the fact that there is like this underground mastermind, like,
yeah.
There is a network, I think.
There is a network.
Yeah,
a network. And they are, like, yeah, I think the idea that he might not have killed himself, I would believe.
Mm-hmm. I also do, and this is going to be questionable or problematic, but to me there is a difference between porn with, like, underage teenage girls and porn with literal children.
Yeah. Like, well, there's definitionally a difference, too. I think there's different names.
But I mean, TikTok teens are like, it's grooming if you're 18 and he's 21. Like, they can't tell the difference. But
TikTok tried to cancel Taylor Swift because they were like, when she was 22, she dated Connor Kennedy, who was 17.
I saw that the other day.
And turning 18. And I was like, I think Taylor Swift shouldn't really be speaking about age gap relationships, because I think it's weird that she dated John Mayer allegedly and was like, don't you think 19 is too young? And then she turns around and dates Jake Gyllenhaal and is like, don't you think you're also too old? And it's like, I'm sorry, like, learn from your mistakes. But like, 17 turning 18 versus 22, that's not like a problematic, creepy age gap, especially when you're a fucking Kennedy. Like, like, there really isn't that much of a power imbalance.
Do you know the thing that drives me fucking insane about the set, the 1931 or whatever the Taylor John age gap was, is one time I made a TikTok video about how much John Mayer sucks. And I, like, referenced the fact that I didn't even really mention Taylor Swift. I just mentioned his, like, pattern of, like, emotionally destroying women. The fact that, like, everyone he's ever dated has, like, anyone who's ever spoken out about him has been like, that relationship left me a shell of my former self.
Yes.
And I'm just like, listen, that's just like bad vibes to me. And people, so many incels came and commented that Taylor and John's relationship was technically legal. And I was like, I'm sorry. At what point did I say that he was dating an underage girl? He was not.
Yeah.
It was legal. It was fine. I just think it's like, mean.
Yeah. Also, like, you're gonna take the side of John Mayer. Like you said, he's the guy who every single person is like, this man completely, like, wrecked me from the inside out. And then they're like, I'm a deadhead, and like, he's so good at guitar. It's
like, you listen to, like, what Jessica Simpson says, what, like, even Jennifer Aniston, who, like, doesn't really speak about her personal life, and just like, John Mayer really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, well, that means he did something bad.
Yeah.
If she's like mentioning it at all, like Katy Perry, I mean, Taylor Swift, like, every single girl that he has publicly dated has a story about, I don't know, I'm just like, okay, I guess it wasn't illegal, though.
Well, can
Congrats.
I tell you, and I might have to cut this out, but when I talked to NT the other day, he was telling me that Dear John isn't about John Mayer. It's about this other guy that Taylor Swift was dating. He was like, he's a singer in a band that, like, not a lot of people know of. And he has, like, tattoos. He was older. It was like all of this stuff. It lines up completely. And he was an alcoholic. So the parents did not want Taylor dating him. But that's who Dear John is about. That's who the song Ours is about. That's who, like, all these songs are about. And he was saying that John Mayer has been talking to Taylor Swift, kind of, because he saw what happened to Jake Gyllenhaal with the re-records, and he is not going to let his PR be, like, completely destroyed and speak now when, like, the song isn't even about him and it's about someone else, apparently. Wow. Allegedly. Yeah.
Wow.
He said that was the thing he's most excited for in 2022 to see happen.
Oh my God.
So I was like,
that's so interesting, because John, like, I can't imagine him giving a shit about his PR. He's just like worried that the narrative would be shared with somebody else, because he's gotten so, he has such a bad rap
already. Yeah. Like, how much worse can it get? Like,
what does he care at this point? It seems like he just doesn't give a shit. But then the idea that, I think probably less than the bad PR, he doesn't want to have to share the name with Taylor. He doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Because I think right now people equally blame both. But with the Jake Gyllenhaal thing, like, the joke was, like, even if you don't know what happened, you have to be Team Taylor or else you'll get murdered. Yeah. And I think he's scared of, like, being in any conversation where he'd come in second, because he's such a narcissist.
Because also, like, if he doesn't want to claim Dear John, why did he write Paper Doll?
I don't know, right? Maybe PR?
Yeah. It seems like for a while he, like, kind of reveled in it, and now he's, like, not in the mood.
Yeah. I do hope they dated.
Me too.
Yeah, and I want to know what happened.
I also do think, like, much like what we were saying with Glee, they are both such archetypes that Taylor Swift,
the bad boy and the good girl,
is the type of girl that he's always dating, just some young, naive idiot. And John Mayer is the type of guy she's always dating, like some bad boy that she thinks she can fix, even though she doesn't know how to drive yet. You know what I mean? Like, they're both, like, awful people in that sense that they could, you know what I mean? If not one, then the next, which John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay, we'll do Naya, and then we'll kind of move on to the people that are still alive. Okay, so this was one. Also, let me know what you think about this one. Sometimes my, like, bullshit meter goes off when I read these blind items, but it was basically saying about Naya, we all know you're wondering and speculating about this actress's behavior. The explanation may surprise you. She was so stressed out over the past 6 months. Everything was falling apart. Her job, her new venture, her relationship, her friendships, and her relationship with her boss and colleagues were all in a state of flux. There wasn't much to be happy about. Her life spiraled completely out of control. Her plans for the wedding were the one thing that she still had control over. Then when her fiancé cheated on her with her colleagues, she broke up with both of them. The sense of betrayal and loss and grief that she felt was overwhelming, so the way that she coped was to hold on to the one thing that made her happy, the wedding plans. She kept going with her wedding plans, and she just slotted in a new guy. So if you're wondering why she got married, it's not because she's on drugs or crazy or seeking publicity, but it was simply coping with her grief by doing the one thing that made her happy, following through on the wedding. And I believe that about the wedding, but it says that Big Sean cheated on her with Lea Michele, which I just find...
Why would Big Sean fuck Lea Michele? Why would anyone fuck Lea Michele? She's so unfuckable. It's... Okay. I guess a lot of that does line up pretty hardcore with what she wrote in her own memoir.
Yeah. I mean, she did have the wedding on the same day, right?
Also, yeah. And she talked a lot about, like, the fallout of, like, things at work were going terribly. She, like, got briefly fired off Glee. Like, she got into a huge fight with the producers.
Yeah.
Her relationship was obviously spiraling, like, a lot of shit in her life. She, like, wrote about that time and how awful everything was.
I do think also it matches up with the psychology of, like, celebrities and what we've seen a lot of, which is that they'll have these big, overwhelming, tumultuous relationships with, like, an equal and then just marry a subordinate. Like, I mean, even in K-pop.
Is Ariana Grande coming to mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And I mean, just all of them do it. K-Fed. Like, because the thing is with these celebrities, first of all, they're so busy. They're so out of control. And I think we, like, underestimate the power of being around a celebrity, that they can just marry one. And I think they all mistake marriage for a relationship, and they just have this idea, like, if I get married, then I'll have stability and I'll have love and I'll have comfort.
Yeah, they do. Like, we have, I feel like in modern dating, there's, like, the talking phase, exclusive, in a relationship, engaged, and married. And in celebrity relationships, I feel like there is dating, married, married
divorced.
And yeah, it's like they literally, they're like, okay, if we're gonna be exclusive, I guess we're married.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't.
And I do think it's because, like, there's not that normal power balance where somebody's just like, if this is what you say, then we have to go with it, and I'm too scared to say no. And then they have all the money in the world to plan an insane wedding, and, like, anything that would normally hold back a regular person doesn't hold them back. And I think if they can find someone who's beneath them enough, they'll get swept up in it. And another thing is, like, it's so easy to have that love bombing, we're in love, we're playing house, when money is not an object.
Yeah.
Like, I do think you look at the Tom Cruise stuff with Scientology, and the way that, like, in Leah, Remini's book, she talks about how they would ask a girl, what's your dream date? And then Scientology would go behind your back and plan your dream date with Tom Cruise. And it's very easy to fall in love with someone when it's like, what's your favorite pasta? Well, tonight we're going to Rome to get you cacio e pepe and bring you home and go to a brunch. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who wouldn't fall in love with that lifestyle? It's so easy when there are no real problems.
I'm thinking of Trisha Paytas too. I'm like, she was with Jason Nash, her equal, but then she'd love bomb Moses and now they're together or something. Yeah. But and you do see that happen.
I also think it's the way they have to date, weirdly. Like, yeah. I don't think it's by choice all the time, because I think that when you're a celebrity, when we spot a celebrity eating dinner with someone, we're like, that's their new boyfriend. Like, yeah. As soon as you step out into public with someone, you are effectively announcing your relationship. So you can't do this like casual dating, seeing multiple people, you just got drinks with someone, we'll see where it goes. Like, you either have to like date indoors, which is also really intimate, to be like, okay, yeah, our first 15 dates are going to be in your house, cooking a meal or ordering takeout and like watching movies and really getting to know each other. And then as soon as we do a normal thing like eat dinner in public, we are public to the world.
Yeah.
And so you like, I don't know, they move in such like unnatural
also their
paces.
Schedules, like if you look at, I mean, watching Chaotic with Britney and Kevin, it really shows you she was going on world tours every year. Mm-hmm. She was out of the country in a different city for like 4 to 5 months at a time a year. If she met a guy she liked, she couldn't say, I hope you're still here in 5 months. She had to say, okay, drop everything and just travel with me, because we can't have a normal relationship. And I think you look at Matthew McConaughey, him and Camilla Alvarez, is that her name? Alves? Maybe it's just Alves. But they had a deal as soon as they got engaged. She said, wherever you go on shoot, I'm coming with you. And I think he likes that about her, because, and like they, I do actually think they're probably loyal to each other, because she knew that and she was willing to do what it takes, which is, it's lonely on set when you have to go to, yeah, when you have to go to Vancouver for 4 months and you don't fucking know anybody. Or even Busy Phillips talking about what it was like to shoot Dawson's Creek in North Carolina. You're just in some fucking town where you don't know anybody but your co-stars. You don't want to hang out with your work friends all the time.
Yeah.
It's very lonely. What's perfect is having some guy with no job just fly out and live wherever you live.
Yeah, I don't even really blame celebrities for cheating. I mean, like, I don't really blame celebrities for a lot, because, like, you know, if I went out to the grocery store and there were a million light bulbs flashing in my face, maybe I'd get hooked on drugs, too. Maybe, yeah, I would do something dark, too. It really fucks with your head. But like you said, like, it does get really lonely. I think a lot of people who cheat, it's not because they're evil at the heart of it. It's just because, like, it's circumstantial. Like, yeah. I don't, like, if you're filming a superhero movie and you're surrounded by all these people, and your wife, you don't see her for 6 months, like, I don't know. I feel like the majority of people would do something shady in that type of situation.
And especially think about, like, especially co-stars cheating with each other. Like, think about how intimate, if you're shooting sex scenes with someone and you're not seeing your wife for however many months, you just, like, think that you're in love with that person now.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know, I'm acting in love with this person, and the person I actually love is thousands of miles away. So maybe I just do love this person instead.
Yeah. I do think celebrities are, like, really lonely. And that's, like, the thing we get the most from these, mm-hmm, books.
Well, they have to, because they're always, like, you know, I would not advise someone to be famous. Like, I would not, you know, advise this lifestyle for someone else, which I feel like is pretty interesting.
I feel like people always forget that most of fame is like bad. Like, having money is cool.
Yes.
I always think about, yes, the Khloe Kardashian Dave and Buster's birthday party where I just like, this is because that's silly. And honestly, Dave and Buster's is probably super fun with your friends. But just this idea that, like, you have millions and millions of dollars and you still, like, your own fucking birthday party can't even be what you want to do with the people you like. That has to be promo. Or Paris Hilton's recent wedding is, God, I think, the ultimate example to me of why it's just not worth it. Because it's like, wow, why did you work this hard for 40 years? Why did you, like, whore yourself out for these DJing gigs? Did you, yeah, watch American Meme? No. Where she's like, I'm on the road 300 days a year. She says,
this is Paris.
Paris is, I know, that's what I'm, yeah, saying. Oh, this is Paris, she says, yeah, I'm on the road for 300 days a year. That's an incredibly lonely lifestyle, but she's, like, working to make as much money as she can. And then she has a wedding where every single part of it is merch. She had a blog post up the next day about, like, my five favorite, like, if you work that hard and you can't even enjoy your wedding, or Will Smith being like, I work on Christmas just to make the point that, like, I never take a day off. If you've worked this hard your whole life and you still can't enjoy Christmas with your family, then what the fuck was it for?
I think it's an addiction. Like, I think it has to be an illness. You, yeah, know what, yeah, I mean? There has to be some sort of void to fill, especially with Paris. I mean, she was already an heiress to begin with. So it's like, it's not,
well,
like,
I've heard they were not that rich.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I've heard that they needed her to do that because they themselves, like, did not have any money.
Yeah. It was like the name Hilton, but, like, that, because there was a bunch of, right, weren't there like four kids? And I think they said it in the This Is Paris documentary too. They were like, the first two inherited a good chunk. The second two were just kind of like left to they inherited money, but it wasn't like the wealth that we
I think they like pushed her to make money.
There's a big discrepancy, I think, between people and what they think fame is. Like you talked about this in your Naya podcast, where everyone she was starring on a TV show, but she like had a roommate. Like she didn't have any money. And even us, like with on TikTok, people will be like, oh my God, how many PR packages do you get? How much money do you make off of it? I'm like, none? Like nothing.
And then you see those girls on TikTok being like, I have 4,000 followers and I made $10,000 last month. And I'm like, doing what?
Isn't that fascinating? I'm always
like obsessed with it. I'm just like, who are you?
They are out there hustling. I guess they're like a micro influencer, so it's more impactful. Really, yeah. But a lot of people will look at someone on a TV show or with a certain number of followers or fame and be like, oh my God, you must be rich or you must be successful. And it's like, not like, no, like all this shit is fake.
Or even I saw a girl on TikTok one time who was on, I don't know what TV show she was on, but she was on some popular show that ran like 7 seasons, had a good role. And she sat down, she's like, yeah, I do make a lot of money. Like, when you look at it, but she's like, after taxes and then after PR, after stylist, after hair and makeup, she's like, what I have to pay out of pocket, I like am not left with a lot.
I think we saw the same video because it was paying for PR is really expensive.
Yeah. Well, and you have to hope it pays off, because then if you become like a celebrity that people like want to see stuff from, then you start getting a ton of free stuff, then you start getting stuff sent to you, then you start getting cast in more things and getting more jobs and more work and like brand deals and representation and all that stuff. But like if people just like kind of know who you are and you've like been on TV, like a lot of people have been on TV.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Okay, we'll finish up with Naya. Oh, this one I thought I wanted to read to you guys because it was pretty funny. It was about her book. It goes, the former Glee actress just got a book deal. Yeah, I don't know why either. Someone probably wants to sleep with her. Anyway, she is going to talk about the cheating that the biggest star on the show did on her beloved boyfriend. She's going to out at least two actors from the show. Our actress wants to make a splash. I don't think all of that happened, but she did get the book deal.
Yeah. I think of all of them, she was the right one to get the book deal because I think her persona and her personality is like most likely to tell you like it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And people were so obsessed with Glee that they would take anything. And I do think like if you know, I mean, I don't know what the fuck Leah Michelle would say. We're actually going to do her books. So we'll find out.
I didn't order it because it's mostly not a memoir.
See, yeah. But like Diana Grande, you can tell.
Like Leah Michelle has a book that's like mostly recipes and like my recipe for a happy, healthy life. And
one part... stretching in the morning.
Yeah.
One part gratitude.
Stretch, lie, do Adderall.
Go on a yacht. Okay, and then we'll just finish up with some of the ones about her tragic passing. There was one blind saying the family of this recently deceased actress have hired their own investigator because they are not convinced it was an accident. There are just too many things not making sense about the B-listress death. And I feel like collectively as a nation, like we all agreed on that when it happened. We were like,
I remember being like, weird. What do you mean someone got in a riptide in a lake? I had never even heard of that.
Yeah. I think overall, I still feel it's very sus.
And then this, Claire, you mentioned that you hadn't heard this. Ashley, I don't know if you hadn't either, but her sister, Nikayla, and her husband got together like 2 weeks after her death. And there's one that says, the question I think everyone has about this relationship is whether it started before or after the mysterious death of the B-plus list actress. If it was before, then that just adds fuel to the fire.
Here's what I will say. That sister was not mentioned once in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. She mentioned having a sister.
And I didn't even know her name. When you said Nikayla, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she says her sister's name. I think she just mentions that she had a brother and a sister.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were close, which makes it really weird.
Super weird. And then this blind says this sibling of the dead actress recently had a miscarriage. A miscarriage. I don't know why I said it like two words. Getting pregnant so soon after the death was going to be really awkward to publicly discuss. So I guess she got pregnant allegedly, then had a miscarriage. And then this was just the last one about the showrunner Ryan Murphy saying, oh, you mean the narcissistic showrunner who only likes the person he sees in the mirror and was willing to hire nobody cast to put more money in his own pocket, product be damned, blah, 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 is accused of not following through on promises for a dead actress he treated like crap while she was alive. Not surprising.
That's what Ashley said.
I always say I have like a lot of hate in my heart for Ryan Murphy, especially around Naya Rivera's death, because I like feel thoroughly, like, his statement around her death, like, he runs every show. He has every show in Hollywood. Yeah. He has so much TV. And he, like, after she passed.
He did also, what, Scream Queens and American Horror Story, Scream Queens, I think.
He
American
also Horror did Story. Melrose Place, the reboot. Mm.
There's also a couple others.
He's done a couple, like, failed things, but he's got Nip Tuck.
That was his, but that was, like, before. Glee. Okay. But my point is that he, after she died, clearly Naya Rivera was struggling in her career.
Yeah.
Like, the last show that I saw her in was Step Up High Water, which was a YouTube Red original series interpretation of the show Step Up, produced by Jenna Dewan Tatum, starring a couple of Instagram dancers like Jade Bug and
Oh
Carlito.
My God, I know Jade Bug, yeah.
So they're in this show, and then like the stars, like the big hot names of this, I loved this show.
They need okay. to pay you, Ashley. I'm going to put a kibosh on you talking about this anymore on any podcast we do until they give us a fucking dollar, because nobody, not Jenna Dewan Tatum, I guess formerly Tatum, now Dewan again, not Naya Rivera, not nobody has promoted the show the way you have promoted it. You bring it up in most conversations
because I think it's such a fascinating look at what happened to Naya Rivera's career, because it was like, this is a web series. She was in a dancing web series about a dancing high school with her and Neo.
Yeah.
And they would like be trotted out like celeb, like, you know, in like One Tree Hill when they would have like a band would be playing at
like the
local
OC,
club.
They would do that. Yeah.
And they would like really trot them out in a dramatic way because they'd be like winking at the audience, like, your favorite band is about to play. Like, that's how they would treat Naya and Neo.
Yeah.
And you were just like, why? Like, why is this happening? What happened here?
Oh, and my God. So, the fact that their names are so similar to Naya and Neo almost makes me think that they just had a giant Excel spreadsheet that they printed out of every, like, D-list out-of-work actor and musician. And then they threw darts.
Oh, yeah.
And
but anyway. So my
and it
point,
landed in the middle, so they picked both of them.
So my point is, the way that Ryan Murphy, like, got press over Naya's death, talking about how talented she was, because I do think that she was like low-key one of the most talented
people
on that
show. She was,
I
have to say, going back, I watched like all these compilations of her line delivery, it was spotless, and she was genuinely funny.
Yeah. So I think,
but this blind wasn't even just about that. It was saying that there was a college fund promise or something. So like
what
Naya,
oh, for the son or something.
Yeah, there was some
or for Naya to go to college.
Let's see. Ryan Murphy addresses complaint from Naya Rivera's father over college fund promise.
If he doesn't choke out $200,000,
yeah,
I will kill him because that man is too rich.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. But what I was saying is it bothers me so much him talking about how talented and incredible she was when clearly her career was not going well and he had all the power in his fucking pinky to revive it.
She would have been great in American Horror Story or Scream Queens.
Yeah.
She could have been the funny lunch lady in Scream Queens or something.
She would have been so funny in Scream Queens.
But yeah, so I think her dad tweeted and called him out saying that, you know, he promised that the kid, he made a promise saying that he was going to provide a college fund for his, for her young son, and they didn't get any phone calls. They fake outrage, hollow gestures, no phone call, broken promises is what he said.
That is ice fucking cold. I mean, he could truly make back the entire college fund in interest. Yeah. Just like send it
to
him. He
probably makes that in like a fucking week. So it is stupid. Well, let's move on to the folks that are alive. If we want to keep talking about Ryan Murphy, there's some stuff about Chris Colfer, if that's how
you hear that.
Pronounce his name. So this says, this A-plus list showrunner airs most of his shows on a cable channel now, but he had a network hit. On that network hit, he wrote a role specifically for an 18-year-old male who slept with him, and that was Chris getting the role by sleeping with Ryan. And then there was another blind saying, the B-minus list, mostly TV actors, kind of playing with fire. Since his hit network show ended, he has been on edge about work. Implying that he was hooking up with this producer before he was even legal is probably not the best way to have career advancement. So allegedly, I think he hooked up with Ryan Murphy before he was 18 to get the role on Glee, and he was kind of running his mouth about it in Hollywood.
What has he done since?
When
they said mostly TV, I was like, one TV? What do you mean mostly?
I think a lot of these Glee folks do like shit on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think Chris Colfer like wrote, I remember there was a period of time when they were pretending that Chris Colfer was like going to be some like triple threat writer, actor, singer.
Okay. I guess if Ryan Murphy was backing me, I'd believe that about myself too.
He wrote a movie.
How'd it go?
I don't think good.
Well, the other two blinds about him are about him writing books, and it says this illiterate, which always like freaks me out, B-list actor last seen singing considers himself an author now. Well, he buys the stories from someone else, but I'm sure he writes the acknowledgments, so why not? And that's like a lot of the books that he does. I think Shane Mitchell did something similar too.
I believe
Shane Mitchell did. Oh, is it like the Kendall and Kylie dystopian? Not like, oh, I wrote a novel.
Yeah, which honestly,
Cara Delevingne write one too.
Oh my god, probably when she's not like drumming or trying to. I feel like Cara Delevingne is the ultimate pick-me girl, but she's also a lesbian, which is like confusing for me to straddle both minds of. I'm like, you cater so much to the male gaze, but you only date females for the most part. I think she said she's pansexual or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I just feel like on every interview, she's like, it's, you could make a bingo card of where she talks about Call of Duty.
Oh my god.
Playing the drums, playing the guitar, how much she like eats meat or shit like that. It's just
She's annoying.
And then and then this is the other one too, saying more about his writing. The publisher for blah blah blah, the publisher of Chris basically chastised him for some comments he made on social media. Our actor is now a children's book author, and the publisher said that the former actor should refrain from making comments that are not consistent with being an author of children's books. And the comment that he made that he got chastised for was he made an Instagram post where the caption said, "The moment you realize you're the only bottom in the bar." And apparently the publisher reached out and was like, "You can't do that because you write children's books now."
I do believe that people are so anal about shit you say online. Like, they're anal. Such
people are super bottom about the stuff you say online. Okay, then we have some stuff about well, you know who I want to talk about, actually? This is probably the one that was most surprising, and then we'll get to Lea Michele. Matthew Morrison. Now, obviously, like, I find him hilarious on TikTok, how every time you see him, someone's like, I need a trigger warning, because he's just, like, so fucking ridiculous. I just thought he was cringe. I didn't know that he was fully rotted. Did you guys know that? What's your opinion on
that? I think I had a suspicion. People don't tend to be that mad about cringe.
Yeah.
Like, people get, like, people will make fun of you, but I did.
I will also say that that is, like, I feel like the way that people like gathered so hard to be like, no, this is cringe, like comes from an like was there was like an aura of rottedness.
It's like maybe a month. Like sometimes we're like, we can't find what, but we can sense. You know what I mean?
Yes. And sometimes people are cringe, but like in a funny way. You
like
know?
There are a lot of people who I feel like are cringe that people don't go after the way. Like even like Debbie Ryan. Debbie Ryan is cringe, but people like make fun of her being like, how coked up is this bitch? Yeah. But they're not like mad at her.
Like Meghan Trainor is cringe, but no one's gonna say that she's evil.
Like people hate Matthew Morrison. They're like angry with him.
Also, can I say, like, in line with our like the blinds tend, the people line up with the characters. Like you don't cast people out of nowhere. And I think you could look at Chris D'Elia and say that like the amount of times that you're like, holy shit, that wasn't a joke to you. Do you watch Younger?
No, that's okay. The Hillary Duff one. I've seen a couple episodes.
I loved it. I binged it over the pandemic. And in Younger, Matthew Morrison has a 2-episode arc where he's like this perfect farm boyfriend. And the reveal is that he fucks his animals in his freedom. And I know that that's obviously a plot for Glee.
Which animal?
I think it was a sheep or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But do you know what I mean? Like there was something in me. Like I saw it and I went, this rings true.
He was in Grey's Anatomy as Joe Wilson's abusive ex-husband.
There's something where you're like, this all, like, you're like, in the pit of my stomach, I go, he was cast for this on purpose.
I just always say, like, woman's intuition. And then I'm like, you can't say I'm wrong because, like, I'm a woman.
My feelings are right.
Okay, so there were obviously some about him, as you could probably guess, being a little bit open on his, sexuality and bestiality. There was interesting one saying that he dated Chase Crawford for a bit, but the ones that really stood out to me, and there were a lot over a variety of different websites, his relationships with Bryan Singer. You guys know Bryan Singer, right?
Oh my god,
completely rotted producer. He worked on like X-Men and all of these like famous movies. For years there have been blind items, and now there's actually articles and allegations being written about like young men that he abused. And by young, it's kind of creepy because they always just turned 18, which
that to me is like very sus.
Very
that's like
sus.
The worst, because it's not even like you like just look and you're like, oh, they're young. It's like, no, you like look at them, you're tracking them, you're watching for the date.
Yeah, that's even more predatory than like going home with someone at a bar and you're like, fuck, I thought you were older. So
yeah,
all of these items were basically saying that he is a pickup master who finds young men for Bryan Singer. And Bryan Singer, I've also talked to some folks in the DMs about this who have had friends who have literally met and fucked Bryan Singer, and like all of the stories are true. Like, he will fly out young boys to LA. There are these orgy parties that he hosts at his apartment. Anyway, so allegedly Matthew Morrison was finding the young men for this, and there's a bunch saying too that he got married, but it doesn't mean that he still isn't hanging out at the disgraced directors' parties and leaving the wives at home, which is what Matthew Morrison and Sean William Scott were doing. Then this was one here soon too, saying this married alliteration actor has not really been seen since his hit network show days. He's done some one-offs, but nothing like that hit show. Right now, he's trying to avoid talking to anyone about those orgies he threw for the missing A-list director. I'm guessing there were not many IDs checked at the door. And then saying too that he got rewards for keeping his mouth closed. He went on a vacation paid for by Bryan Singer to Hawaii. And basically all these things, like there's probably about 8 different blinds here that he was working with Bryan Singer, or at least has like very, very close ties to him. I think 2022 could be the year that everything about Bryan Singer is found out.
I thought that they had that whole expose. We don't know where he is.
A lot of these blinds, I think, are from like 2 years ago.
Okay.
So
yeah, 'cause I remember there was that expose that people just kind of forgot about. There was like a pretty rough, there was like a pretty intense expose about him.
Are you talking about the recent one from like a week ago?
No.
It was exactly, I know exactly when it was, because it was when
it was about the pool party.
It's when I got into that fight with Francis Elliott from
Francis Ellis, because from this Barstool guy, because he was doing this like shitty comedy parody song about how if Harvey Weinstein had been gay, then he'd be more successful.
Because he would have just done it. And I was like, that's so true. Just like all those Bryan Singer boys are so successful now and definitely not killing themselves in AA.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So whenever I got canceled for that
it was definitely pre-pandemic.
It was when I was working, it was like 2019.
God, so like 2 years ago.
No, it was the winter 2018.
It was it was like JFL auditions 2018.
But I honestly think that the reason this isn't really being talked about is because, one, it has to do with like young underage people, which like we're uncomfortable talking about. We don't like doing that. And then two, it also has to do with men. And like the sexual assault cases of men really aren't talked about as much as women, and they're less likely to come forward. And you combine the two of those, and I'm like, I think that's why Bryan Singer has been, I mean, obviously I'm sure he's paying off a shit ton of people and doing nasty stuff behind the scenes, but I think that's why people aren't like looking into it with the same amount of vigor that they did with Harvey Weinstein cases.
I also think Harvey Weinstein had reached a certain pinnacle of success and they were ready to like let go
topple
of
the
him.
King or something. Yeah.
Because I think I don't think that there's as many people who like need to see Bryan Singer go down. Yeah. And I think Hollywood agreed. They're like, we'll cut Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. You're right. So then they were able to like dramatically push him off his mountaintop.
I almost think he was the fall guy too for the Me Too movement, because from what a lot of the blinds say, like this whole casting couch situation, it's still going on. Like that's still how you get a part. Like everyone was like, we did it, we got rid of Harvey Weinstein. It's like, no. And they're like, oh, like, Jeffrey Epstein's dead,
Weinstein,
we did it. It's like, no.
Existed in like a silo. You think he was the only one doing this? Yeah. Like he was part of a culture that still
he
exists.
Had assistants who would literally cover up his shit for him, and I'm sure like everyone does. So I don't know. I just think it's weird, and I feel like nobody wants to talk about this because they're like, also too, they're like, oh, it's just a blind item. It's like, well, there's also like hundreds of allegations over the years. So I don't know.
There's been a lot of reputable sources. Can I say something? I know this is not the point.
Yeah.
But the idea of being like an old person who's constantly in a sea of young people that I know are only trying to fuck me for money, like, I don't understand how men could delude themselves into being turned on by that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really think that is like a key difference between men and women. Is that men have this incredible ability to, I don't know if they can turn off that part of their brain that like is that people find them disgusting and they're like, no, they want to be here, or if they don't care that to them being like sexual prowess and financial power are so one and the same that it doesn't need to be separated, that the fact that like you have that kind of power that hot people want and ugly people, or like a young person wants an old person, is just as good. But I do feel like as a woman, I don't want to speak for all women, but I do feel like, could you handle it, Ashley?
No.
Like being in a sea of like young, hot people who you know are repulsed by you, but only there for opportunity.
The audacity. Could you? And I feel like we can say this because like the podcast listeners are mostly women, but the audacity, like, I don't know. I could not have,
even if I have sex with my perfect loving boyfriend, there are times where I'm like, oh, like straight pube, or like suck my stomach in, you know, and a guy will never think about that. Yeah. Or you even see, like, I've seen homeless women. None of them have ever jacked off in front of me, but the homeless men are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I do think that there's a level of audacity when it comes to like being sexual or getting what you want sexually, where men are just not afraid to ask for it or go for it or be shameless at all. And women are always just like second guessing themselves and trying to people please and stuff like that.
I do feel like for like men to have sex means like they won the power. So by any means necessary, if they're there, they have the power. And I feel like if someone has sex with a woman, it means something different to women. It means like you, they found you attractive. They wanted to have sex with you.
Like if we had to have sex with a guy and he only liked us because of our money, the whole time I would be like, are you sure you want to be doing this? Like, do you actually like me?
Yeah, it's not just really blah, blah, blah. Insecure. It'd be hard for me to get into it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, like, I've had like anxiety about like anytime I've ever, like, I've been on a date before with someone who had like known my Twitter or like whatever, and then I just have like a lot of anxiety and insecurity about like even them thinking, the idea that they know a version of me
perceiving that, you
I'm like, I want you to only know the version of me that I'm like presenting to you right now, and like I don't understand what you want from me if you've like, if you know that much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes me feel like there's, like, other motives.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like with comedy, there are guys, like, I feel like it sounds like I'm, like, gassing myself up.
It really doesn't. Like, it sounds like you're trying to un-gas yourself as possible. Because, I feel like you haven't said a thing because you're like, it's not like, it's just a tweet.
Okay, here's the thing.
God forbid a man on a date sees a tweet.
guys like being talked about. They have this, like, weird fucking thing. They get off on, like, you mentioning them. Like, I date a lot, and a lot of times guys will, like, find out I do stand-up or, like, have known about my Twitter before we've gone out and I didn't know that or something like that, and they'll be like, oh my god, is this material, like, is this gonna be material, and they're like almost turned on by that, and then like, because that's like the only thing I have to give right now is like this weird thing that they like, is sometimes like some guys that I don't like being talked about in public spaces, they like the attention, and so if I think that's what they want, it like freaks me the fuck out. I'm like, this is disgusting, and I am not giving that to you. Like, I want you to like me. I don't want you to like the idea of like you being on Reddit at some point. You know what I mean?
Which I do think I have before submitted a question about my relationship on Reddit, which, by the way, don't ever do that. Because then you get all of this conflicting advice, and you click onto someone's profile and they subscribe to like fairy manga porn addicts. And I'm like, great. The person with the most upvotes giving me advice on my relationship is addicted to fairy manga porn. And okay, for the next person, I'm going to give you guys a pick. Do you want to do Leah Michelle or Diana Agron first?
Let's do Diana, then Leah, because I like Diana and I don't like Leah.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's run through Diana.
Start off with some sugar and then some spice. So a lot of the blinds about Diana are basically saying that after the show ended, she realized the next big thing to do was basically be a professional beard for people / yachter, which honestly kind of sounds like the move. So there was one blind saying that basically she goes to different events and she's always on the arm as like arm candy to different married studio heads or things like that. So different folks who need like a little something cute to show up with, she'll be the person that they show up with to all of these events. Or there was one saying that she was bearding for Josh Hutcherson during his whole Hunger Games situation. And he is in the closet and he needed someone to attend parties with him. And she was the person who did that, which I just feel like she would be a perfect person to show up on someone's arm to a party.
Yeah.
She is like the ultimate. I mean, and Shiva Baby. Did you see that?
She had a baby.
No. Oh. Shiva Baby. The movie.
The movie.
It's a movie. She's like plays the persona of perfect wife. Like, she is perfect girlfriend.
She is perfect wife. And then also I think right now she's like really rebranding her career. She's been doing some indie films and I think she's trying to be like
Michelle Williams it.
She's trying to Michelle Williams it by being like, I'm not Glee girl, I'm an actual actor.
Yeah
Well,
you know what's funny, you know who else tried to Michelle Williams it and then just like I guess got bored and gave up?
Who?
I will say Katie Holmes, I think, took a page out of Michelle Williams's book because she did all these weird movies like April at Thanksgiving or something. Do you remember that? Like Days of April.
Oh yeah. I also think she got bored of like acting. I don't think she
And then
likes
she just
it.
Was like, I'll just be famous and marry Tom Cruise, and then that was a mistake. And she's like, well, now I'll just be a mom.
Yeah.
Does she do anything now?
She's like
I don't
hot.
I think so. Yeah.
She's like normal hot.
But yeah.
No, but she's like she's doing like a what's her name, like Chloe Sevigny, like kind of like low-key New York fashion girl hot thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's normal girl hot.
Okay,
that's just any woman like with good skin.
That's like and Glossier a lot of, yeah, hot. Yeah,
yeah. It's any woman with good skin and a stylist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
like, remember what she did for that sweater bra?
Yeah. I was just thinking insane. About it.
But I feel like that's the right way for a celebrity to go, right? You don't want to be like a Chrissy Teigen where you're hanging on to every last morsel until you get canceled and hated. It's like, yeah, you did your time.
Yeah.
Back out. You could always come back in if you wanted and people would welcome you with open arms. But I don't know. She played it well.
Yeah.
So the actual Diana Agron sounds like a fucking cool, mostly lesbian chick, basically saying that so she was formerly married to this guy Winston Marshall, who I think was like in some indie band, and it was saying that he's been out of the country very often. She has been out of the country and spending almost every night at one of the world's biggest sex clubs, minus her husband. And that was in Berlin, Germany, where she was filming there. And she allegedly hooks up with women and had a girlfriend when she was dating Winston Marshall. And she lived with the girlfriend. And he really didn't see her that much, which is why their marriage ended up breaking up. And then we had a very interesting blind, too. Where's the one about her?
I don't know if you talked about it in your Gaylor episode, but because she dated Taylor Swift supposedly for a while.
Yeah, supposedly, but like, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, like, I say supposedly because I'm like,
yeah, allegedly, but like, I would lay my life down for it. Yeah.
Allegedly, I'm certain that she did.
Yeah. And I think that they were very cute. You can also tell that they dated because they looked the exact same when they dated, and her and Karlie Kloss looked the exact same when they dated. And if you know anything about lesbians, they are always dating people, for the most part, who look exactly like them.
I mean, look at Joe Alwyn.
Have you seen the Tumblr posts of them wearing the same outfits? Diana and Taylor.
Oh yeah, borrowing each other's clothes. But I then saw somebody say that like those were dresses at like Anthropology, so it could have just been ones that they bought. But who knows? Okay, this was one of my favorite blinds about Diana. It was saying that her and Nina Dobrev is allegedly a huge yachter. Like, she is the girl, along with Lindsay Lohan, for yachting. And it says, the former Glee actress has joined forces with the former Vampire Diaries star to create the ultimate television threesome package.
Oh my God.
It says that was something that was offered for yachting. Now, when it comes to yachting, I should have talked more to Enty about this, but to me, it does seem like a thing. Like, if I know girls in my college who were sugar babies and things like that, and if Tana Mojo is an influencer out here saying that she's getting paid for sex, like, what's to make you think that these actors and actresses aren't, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, but they have so much money. And it's like, no, the price just goes up along with everything else. But, like, the act doesn't stop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Miranda Kerr.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was in Emily Ratajkowski's book, right?
Yeah.
And also, in Court Papers, because that is like the guy specifically that Emily was talking about her yachting for. It is now like an internationally wanted thief.
I was also talking to a sex worker about the like mindset, because like after some of the stuff I said in the Emily Ratajkowski episode, like the mindset that we have of like, if not for money, then why? Like, maybe they just like it. Like, it doesn't have to be. You know what I mean? Like, people, like, why is Jeff Bezos still working? Like, why isn't he retired? He has enough money. Like, maybe Nina Dobrev and Diana Agron, like having sex on boats.
Honestly, I've always said my dream job would be to be a honeypot spy. I just want to dress up, go out with some, like, wanted politician on a train, drink gimlets, get some information, flirt, charm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that act is kind of like an escapism fantasy. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, like, I don't think that, like, because I had that, like, mindset of, like, if not for money, then for what? And it's like, no, I don't know. There's, like, other reasons.
I also do think there is that thing where, like, when something's your job and if you're a competitive person, you want to be the best at it. Like, I could see how, like, once you've broken, you know what I mean? Like, if you've broken the seal and you're like, yeah, this is something I'm willing to do, it's like, okay, I could get an even bigger client. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I made $100,000 yesterday, but like me and Nina could team up and now we're making $300,000 in a night. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I do see how I read this, a money diary from like the highest paid sex worker at like the Bunny Ranch in Nevada.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how she was like, she had made $1 million. And so she sat down and strategized like, well, what would it take now for me to make $2 million next year? Like, she was like, I want to be the best. I want to make the most money at this. And it was just like any other business with our podcast.
Yeah.
when you have something you're working on.
I do have to say, Diana and Nina Dobrev together as a package, like, I would dip into my 401k for that. Like, I could not picture, like, two hotter.
To me, it's so, like, the 14-year-old boy fantasy. Like, you know?
Yes, it's like the CW.
But also, like, what we were saying is, like, what kind of guy would like this, like, weird power dynamic where it's so obvious that they're not actually in power. And I do feel like that 14-year-old fantasy is, like, the exact thing up the alley of, like, some person with, like, oil money.
They want somebody that, like, somebody else would be impressed by. Yeah. Because I guess, like, neither of them are, like, sexy to me.
Like, they're both, yeah, they're both very, they don't have, like, they don't ooze sexuality.
Like, I feel, remember
pretty.
In seventh grade when, like, the hottest girl was, like, the plainest girl who was the skinniest with the straightest hair?
Yeah. The the Natalie Noelle, Emily Mariko effect, kind of.
Yeah. And you're like, well, there's nothing to her, and I guess that's why seventh grade boys like her.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, Diana Agron and Nina Dobrev to me are like that. Like, they're so pretty.
But that's, I think that's also, too, where it comes from me, where I'm like, oh, this is a girl who, like, doesn't have to schedule what day she washes her hair because it's so thick, and like she doesn't have to put like pimple cream on at night. Like, this is just like a classically attractive girl with like no problems in life. And I think growing up, I've always been like, that's the most enviable thing because that's like so hard to attain.
Yeah, I feel like they do both have this like look of just like they just are pretty.
I mean, like the definition of girl pretty, you know how there used to be like girl pretty and guy pretty?
Yeah,
to me they're very girl pretty. So I guess like I can't imagine.
Like, they could go to summer camp and everyone's wearing the same summer camp t-shirt, but they would still be, oh, like they're pretty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they like just like wear regular clothes better than you.
Exactly.
Okay, I just feel like they would be like kissing to try to like turn the guy on, and like there'd be no tongue. Like, they seem like they were just like they're kind of people who like make out closed mouth the whole time.
No, I kind of feel like they're so pretty and classic looking that they're like secret freaks.
Okay,
maybe. I don't know, like I could see them like dancing on each other, you know what I mean, to try to like warm it up, but like they're not really touching.
I would actually get turned off like watching them try to be sexy. Like, they can only exist as a fantasy.
Maybe if they reenacted the Say a Little Prayer for You dance, okay. I'd be like, okay, now we're talking. Okay, so let's do Leah.
Finally.
Let's start off with something nice about Leah.
Why?
Because we're about to trash the shit out of her. So this was basically saying that it says, fitting with her nature, if you're a school with a music program, she is your champion. I have seen her raise six figures in a night for programs involving singing and music. She doesn't do galas really, but she will make phone calls and send texts and emails, blah, blah, blah. She's probably raised $1 million in the past 2 years, and a lot of that was in small donations.
Wow.
So she cares about the arts.
Good for her.
That's nice.
Yeah. So we'll start off with that. Now we'll get into the weird stuff. The weirdest thing to me out of all of these blind items, and there's a lot of weird ones, is that she is trying to monetize the death of folks on the show.
We heard this.
And I think you guys talked about this, but there's two different blinds. One said that she is working, or that she was pitching a docuseries on her dead ex, Corey, and how she gets a lot of mileage out of that. So, like, I don't know. I guess she wanted to do a docuseries, but then I guess once more people died, then she was pitching a seance show where she would try to connect with all the dead people from the show.
This we heard about, and it is batshit fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Can you fucking imagine being like, I, Leah Michelle, am going to...
Notoriously hated person.
It's like, Demi Lovato levels of
it's
insanity.
Demi Lovato narcissism and insanity. Like, okay, Corey, she was dating, which I also have doubts about, but like,
yeah,
technically they were dating, I guess, publicly. Like, the idea that she would use Naya Rivera's name for attention.
Yeah.
They, like, Naya Rivera had fucking no problem just like shit talking her in interviews. And I think the best shit talking of all was in her memoir when Naya was like, I bet you're expecting me to slam Leah Michelle right now. We actually are like two sides of the same coin. We don't hate each other. We just simply don't get along. And that's all I have to say about it. And you're just like ice fucking cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also have to wonder, she's married to a man, no?
Leah Michelle now?
Yeah, she's married to the guy who started AYR Jeans, which I know because I love those jeans. Great. Shout out to the jean company.
Zandi Reich?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what she... Her
Wait,
publicist
hold on, let me
hates
say my,
her. Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, like, as somebody in a relationship, if my boyfriend ever said, I'm going to, like, work on a project about my dead ex, I'd be like, the fuck you're not? Yeah. Like, if she's dead out there, she's dead in here. I don't want to hear her name. She's dead to me.
Okay, so Leah Michelle I feel like she's been in a lot of PR relationships and they like don't research anything. They're just like, I don't know, this one would look good standing next to you. Like, after Corey, she dated a male prostitute from a music video, and everyone was like, wait, isn't he a prostitute? And she was just like, no.
See, that's what, I don't think it is PR. I think she is like, can't be told anything. I think she knows better than everybody. And I think she, like, I mean, whatever their relationship was, it is upsetting if your real or fake boyfriend dies of an unexpected overdose. And I think she was just like, I'm moving on with my life. I found a handsome man and we're very happy together.
And then everyone was like, he's a hooker. You hired him.
Well, and maybe was this was like, the man from, because there were a lot of blinds from different websites basically saying that after the death of Corey, she went on vacation with this like mysterious man. Obviously it was a romantic relationship. She was there and everybody saw her with him at the resort and they were like, didn't your boyfriend die like 2 weeks ago? What's going on here? So that's what made people think either is it PR or is she just like moving on inappropriately? It could have
been
quickly. PR
because that would have been so I think that's the kind of thing if it was
you
real,
know
it
was Corey it. And Leah PR because like the fact that she I thought, moved like, on that quickly
I thought and I'm like I'm a big PR relationship believer but I was like no one in their right mind would say PR, the way to yeah. bounce back from a dead boyfriend is yeah. to move on quick.
Like did she have another boyfriend and she was like PR dating Corey and maybe she and her actual boyfriend had a vacation planned and she was like I know my public boyfriend died but that's no reason to cancel our trip.
Yeah, I guess what I'm so confused about is how she could have been dating somebody who was like actively in the throes of a heroin addiction.
Well,
and
that's
known.
Why people think yeah. that it was like a PR relationship because they must have just spent no time together. But I will say I think that, okay, I'm not an expert on drugs. I do know a lot of former addicts. And it's like not, you're not like jonesing all that. Like people are very functional on drugs if they want to be. Like heroin especially, I feel like people have this like idea that like everyone on heroin is like a super junkie. Mm. That's like very much not true. You can be like really, really functional on heroin.
But on like on pills or on like shooting up?
Shooting up.
I have no, the only experience I have with heroin is what I saw in San Francisco, and that was not a yeah. Glee actor.
So the
know?
Thing is, it's like when you're wealthy and doing heroin, you can be pretty functional on it. It's when you're poor and doing heroin that you like don't have a maintained supply, and it's like the withdrawal that's mostly the problem.
Mm.
So
well,
like,
there are
and
a
the
lot
amount
of
money you spend on it. So then you're like losing your house, you're losing, like, you know what I mean? Like when you end up homeless and like with no steady supply of drugs, that's when shit is fucked yeah. up. But if you're like a very rich person, just like maintaining a normal dosage of heroin.
Well, there was one night, I think a lot more people are
don't
on,
do heroin.
Yeah. But a lot more people in Hollywood do it than I think you would yeah. think of. There was one. Okay. In more Leah Michelle narcissism, we had this one, which it's not even that scandalous. I just think it's really funny. So Gwyneth Paltrow allegedly was like getting shit for dressing up as Audrey Hepburn. And people were like, how dare you dress up like this classic actress? Like, are you going to try and be her in a film, blah, blah, blah. But really, Leah Michelle was making quiet inquiries into trying to play Audrey Hepburn in like a documentary on her life. And it was like, she's not unattractive, but there's something about her that makes her really hard to picture her as Audrey Hepburn. We don't know if she would physically pass for her, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, to me, Audrey Hepburn is the most beautiful woman in the world. I would never have the balls to be like, I can play her in a documentary. Also, like, they do not look alike at all.
They do
also,
not
their
look
essence
alike.
Is different.
Well, very did you see different. The uproar, like, this week or, like, the internet tizzy this week? Because they did just cast Rooney Mara as Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, I think
in
I
a
did
thing,
see that.
And everyone is like, Lily Collins screaming at her agent.
Yes. Yeah, Lily
because
Collins
she, like,
could have
does
done
look like
really
Audrey.
Well.
But the
yeah.
thing about her is like I feel like Audrey Hepburn has like a very delicate, whimsical, like she's almost made of nothing yeah. essence that even though Lily Collins has anorexicized herself down to barely bones, if that. yeah. I mean, she's nothing but like eyebrows on top of toothpicks.
And then she's got a wig.
she's eyebrows and a wig on nothing but bone. There's something still like not delicate about her. There's still like a deep effort that goes into her where I feel like Rooney Mara does have like a weird like she's just a wisp of dark wind.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the old money.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't need to be here, so she doesn't really care. And you can feel that. So, Lily Collins, even though she also has money, a la Phil Collins.
Right.
Lily Collins needs to be here.
But wait, Lily Collins is related to Phil Collins?
It's his daughter.
Oh my god, how
and
did
the
I
rumor
not know that?
Oh, here's a blind item.
Yeah.
That
wait, by the way, the guy who did Tarzan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also like a big drummer.
To me, he is the Tarzan soundtrack okay. guy.
There was a rumor, I don't know when it was, but she was up for like an Oscar nom, maybe, for one of her old roles. And apparently he was like going around just like offering to pay people in the Oscar, like just like handing them money to nominate her.
Good God.
That's so
isn't that a good dad. That's such a good dad.
Nothing makes me more angry than that Oscars, the year at the Oscars when Ricky Gervais was talking about Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, and everyone has the audacity to be like, oh, like poo-poo, don't talk about this in the audience. And it's like, I'm sorry, every single one of you motherfuckers knew what was going on, and you have the audacity to not even laugh at a joke, but pretend that like what Ricky Gervais is saying, which by the way is talking about the truth that went on, that's the thing that's distasteful. I was just like, the Oscars is so rotted. I don't know anyone who likes it.
We get
it
that
now.
All the time on our podcast. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you think joking about rape was bad? We think rape is bad.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
So I guess we have a different opinion of like good and evil.
Okay. So a lot of this, I mean, a lot with Lea Michele is basically just her and Ryan Murphy have like a pretty good relationship. He puts her in shit. She, I don't know, he really likes her for some reason. There was one weird line saying that she took 2 days off from filming to have an abortion because a producer got her pregnant who was married.
That's crazy because that happened to Naya too.
Really?
Naya had to take time off to get an abortion.
Yeah.
Was it from a producer?
No, it was from her, the guy she married. He had gotten her pregnant.
Oh, yes.
She had
the first time they dated.
And then she told him about it later, right? Yeah. And then that was how they got back together. Interesting. Okay, well, I will just round some things out at the end here with some of like the lesser known people. Heather Morris on the show, I always found her awkward to watch because she was just so fucking dumb.
I always said that she did Hollywood right. She had a little life plan. She got an unexpected bump. She went, took her bump and went right fucking back to Arizona and just has the best life in Arizona.
Yeah. And she has the nicest blinds, basically saying that she is a rose amongst the weeds. She always greets fans with glee and never caused any production problems, unlike the majority of the featured cast. And that she recently got married. Well, keep in mind, these blinds are all from like years and years ago. But she invited everyone from the show except for Lea Michele.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Because nobody liked her because of her ego. There was a blind about Kevin McHale, the guy who was in the wheelchair in Glee, being closeted. But a week after the blind, he did come out with his boyfriend, which I always just like to mention because so many people are like, blind items are not true. And I'm like, no, like a lot of them do call things right before they happen. And then lastly, Cord Overstreet, which is so funny, like back when everyone was like his big smile. So he had a PR relationship with Emma Watson because allegedly he's closeted. And this one was interesting. He spent a weekend with Nick Jonas and Priyanka, and they referred to Nick Jonas as the closeted former tweener turned A-minus list adult singer. Although I do not think Nick Jonas is A-minus list, but
yeah, they had a comeback.
Yeah, so I guess
and I think dating Priyanka helped with that. I mean, they leveled up by marrying the most famous women in Hollywood at the time.
That was a really good PR relationship. Like, they both gave each other the boost that I don't know if anyone else could have given them. You know,
I think they're coming to an end right now.
I don't know. I thought for sure with the changing of the names and things like that, but then they just did that whole stunt with the Netflix roast. So I feel like they have to keep things going at least for a couple more months.
I do think, like, when you're living a lie anyway, like, why not? I'll just keep lying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that unless he's going to come out, what's the reason to get divorced?
Wait, also, you guys said that Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn are going to be getting engaged soon, but I've been seeing blinds
that they broke up, right?
Yeah, that they're going to be breaking up.
Did you see those photos that leaked?
Yes.
Of them.
The pink hair.
No, wig. It's like her in a bra
in the bathroom. He's like brushing his teeth,
yeah,
and she's
like
taking selfies.
Yeah, but those came out like 2 years ago, but then they recently came back, which by the way, doesn't it look like a cruise ship bathroom? It's like so random.
It looks like a public school bathroom. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
And he's like shaving a beard that he doesn't even have, and allegedly it was because Selena Gomez's phone got hacked, but there's 8 of those photos. So why would Taylor send Selena 8 of those photos in a text message?
Why did any of those photos get taken?
It has to be for PR.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like this weird thing where was she trying to be like, we're like a very sexual couple. We stand around in the bathroom without our shirts on together.
But she had the pink wig on. So it must have been some sort of costume party. Do you guys not remember the pink wig? Hold on.
I guess I was just so taken aback. Wait, a costume party where he's just shaving?
I think they were getting ready for it. Okay, there was like some sort of, you're talking about this picture, right?
Yeah.
So then there was somebody put it together, but there was like a party that they went to where like a bunch of Joe Alwyn's friends were all wearing pink wigs. So they think that that was like them getting ready for the party or something. Okay. But it's just weird. It's like, I don't know, either be naked or don't. But like, this is just like,
well,
such
I wonder
a weird
why
photo.
They would have broken up.
I don't know.
I guess she's like gay.
That's what I mean. That's what I think, too. But it's also I also think it's weird because if it is a PR relationship, I don't really know what Joe Alwyn's getting out of it because he seems to hate any association with Taylor Swift. Who knows?
I will say he wasn't in anything before her.
I think he wasn't in anything.
He's about to be in that Sally Rooney remake TV show.
I know, but I was going to say, I bet you that he thought that he had stuff coming out like right around the time that he and Taylor got together or like went public with their relationship. Like The Favorite came out like right around when they started. And I think that he kind of thought that he was going to like establish himself alongside Taylor and was like, okay, I won't be like Taylor Swift's little boyfriend. I have like a big movie coming out. Like I have things that I'm working on. And then none of that popped off. Like he's just not like the stuff popped off him in the stuff no one gives a shit about. And so then I think getting pigeonholed as like Taylor's little boyfriend and she's like getting him his little jobs.
Yeah.
Really pissed
I mean,
him off.
I do think that they are dating for real. I think that's too. A real relationship. I just find it so fucking weird. Like you can be secretive. There's not like a single photo of you guys on each other's Instagram. Maybe they're doing the Claire method, but it's just like everyone knows you're together. It's been 5 years. Also, I find it so obscene that he got awarded a Grammy, and it's like Jack Antonoff doesn't really speak about him. None of the other people who worked on the songs really know about him. He said in different interviews that he doesn't have a musical bone in his body, but suddenly he worked on enough songs for you to give him a Grammy. I just think the whole thing's weird.
Yeah. Dude, you know how I would feel about that. I hate that shit. That like my little boyfriend needs credit too.
Yeah.
I would, if I was her friend, I would, it would be
Joe
really-
Alwyn is her Rocco.
Do you know all the Elmo and Rocco drama?
Yeah, but isn't that also like years old and then it recently resurfaced on Twitter?
Yeah, because everyone is just like, what? I mean, you made me watch a bunch of clips of it.
But I just
it
really
is
relate
shocking.
To it. I relate to it because I feel like I'm Elmo and my friend's awful boyfriends are all Rocco. Yes. And like suddenly my friend will show up with a boyfriend and be like, we have to put him first. And I'm like, why? He sucks.
Yeah. Why does he get the first pick of cookie?
Yeah, like I'm like, I just really relate to it.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess that's the fun thing about Blinds. Like, we'll find out. Yeah. They said they were going to break up in January, so TikTok.
We heard that they're getting engaged in January, so.
All we know is that something's happening in January.
Yeah, let's see who's right. Whose sources are more accurate, us or them?
I can't wait.
Great. Okay, any last notes on Glee? Anything that I did or didn't bring up? I'm hoping also that Matthew Morrison and Bryan Singer, we find out something about that this year.
I would
year.
Love for them to go to jail this year.
Wouldn't that be nice as a manifest? And they share a jail cell or a jail cell together.
No, they have
nice.
To be in a jail with other people because they can't have fun. It can't be like a good sleepover.
Yeah, you don't want it to be a party.
It's not fair to go to jail with your best friend.
That's my heaven, honestly. That's so, my life, really. I feel like we're stuck in jail together.
We'll see. And you know what? Maybe 2022 will get even crazier and there will be that seance show, which I hate to admit it, but I would watch the fuck out of that pilot episode.
I can't. Can I tell you? I know that if it got picked up, it would be canceled after
before
one episode because people would be like so angry. I think her house would get burned down.
Yeah, I know. But don't you want to watch that happen?
No, I want to watch that happen. But I don't want to watch the show.
The house burned down.
Yes. That could be episode two. Yeah. It'll be all part of the same series.
The true crime. What happened to Leah Michele? Well, it all started with this dumb show idea.
Exactly. It started with a seance and it ended with a
the second seance.
Then it just keeps picking up. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. And you said that you might be doing Leah Michele or no? You
I
have
think
done
we're
Naya.
Doing it soon. Oh, no, we're not doing it.
I mean, we can look into it again, but I don't think that there's enough meat in that memoir to call it a memoir. I think we've backed ourselves into that corner a few times. I'm pretty sure it's like lifestyle tips with like a few excerpts of like personal essay.
Yeah. Okay. So here we support Naya and we also like Diana Agron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
All right. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Huge thank you to Claire and Ashley. If you have not checked out Celebrity Memoir Book Club podcast, please do. I'm trying to think of like some of my favorites. Like they could literally make a book about diapers interesting. But in case you're like thinking of which episode to get started with for them, My favorite is probably the Olivia Munn one because it's just completely unhinged. Jamie Lynn Spears is their most recent one. Obviously, to go along with this episode, Naya Rivera. Oh, speaking of another unhinged person, Yolanda Hadid. Interestingly enough, it didn't spill that much tea, but I thought it was kind of sweet. Miley Cyrus's one, the Leandra Medina. Okay, I'm just going to end up saying all of them, so go check it out. And just the last thing I want to say is kind of like an ask for any resources, lumber, barley, no. Basically, this I don't want this to like be boring and annoying, but basically it's been a really shit week for me. There were four different times that I was just browsing things online, not even looking myself up, and I came across forums where people were not saying lovely things about Fluently Forward or who I am as a person or things like that, which, you know, of course I get it. It's the internet. And I will say there was a moment where I was like, oh my God, is this like the universe telling me to stop doing blind items because like I'm saying things about celebrities that may or may not be true, and being on the receiving end of it, like seeing people online call you things that you are not, or like say that they catch a vibe from you that you didn't think you were putting out, you know, doesn't feel good. And then that also is paired with, I don't know if anyone was keeping up with the drama of Hello Teffy on TikTok with Brittany Ferland. Basically, Hello Teffy, she's also a pop culture, you know, celebrity gossip TikToker. And she made this series on Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee and their relationship because Hulu, I think, is doing not even like a documentary. It's kind of like a TV show about their relationship, whatever. And Brittany Ferland, if that's how you say it, she is an ex-Viner who is married to Tommy Lee now. And she put out a video being like, hey, Teffy, like, your video really hurt me because, like, you know, all this gossip is in the past. And, like, there are people behind these gossip videos that you make. And, like, it hurts their feelings. And everyone rushed to Teffy's defense, obviously, because, you know, she wasn't doing, like, what I do is nasty, you know, it's blind items. But Hello Teffy was literally just talking about news articles about Tommy Lee, facts, things that he's said in his own book that he did. Anyway, so that was something crazy. I don't know, I guess I've just been having a crisis of confidence, and I'm like, should I even be doing this podcast? Like, is it bad? Is it good? I don't make any money off of it, and like, it's so much work. And then I'll see like things online that just like cripple me and like make me want to quit. And I don't know, I just like, I feel so bad. Like, I've ruined every night this week with my boyfriend because I've just been like in like not a good place, and I feel bad about that too. Anyway, it is the internet, and even if I don't agree with, you know, what you think about me, I'll defend to the death your right to say it, because everyone has, you know, the right to their own opinion, of course. That being said, like, I would like to keep podcasting, and I know that I need to get better at this and build, like, a thicker skin or just have, like, resources to know how to handle this, because at this point in time, I am not handling it well. So, anyway, that's where the resources, like, lumber and ale and barley come in. No, I'm looking for, like, if there's an article you've read about this, or like a book or a podcast that like helped you kind of navigate the internet and just like how to grow a thicker skin or not be so sensitive or things like that, please send it to me, because it's really like a skill I need to get better at. And you know, just please trust in me if you see anything nasty online. Like, I don't even know, whatever. I don't want to like over explain because that's agonizing. And then I don't want to under explain and have you think that by me not addressing something online, it means that I agree with that, you know, horrible opinion or something. So I don't know what to do. I'm still trying to figure it out. And now I feel bad because we're ending the podcast on like such a shitty note. So let's end it nicer, because next Monday has already been recorded. It just needs to be edited. So I will catch you here next week. We have a very special guest, Glam Demon 2004. The brilliant Serena Shahidi will be on, and we talked about blind items on Everyone in Old Hollywood. From everyone from Marilyn Monroe to Audrey Hepburn to a lot more. And it wasn't just blind items that we covered. We also covered a little bit of like an autobiography of their lives, which, spoiler alert, they're all pretty tragic. So anyway, I went into it being like, I don't really care about old Hollywood. Then I looked it up and I started to care. And then I talked to
Serena, I just keep calling her Glam Demon. And I was like, wow, now I really care about this. So I'm excited to edit that. And I hope you guys enjoy it next week. And thank you for listening this week. And I hope everyone has a wonderful week. Take a drink every time I say week. Week, week, week. Okay, I'll see you guys later. Bye.